We all know it's Mother's Day. Calendar says so. So happy Mother's Day. And that's a good thing. You know, got a story, of course, to start off with. Got to have a good story for Mother's Day. And this is a story about a man, very busy man, you know, long, hard day at work. And he comes home and he finds his three children outside, still in pajamas, playing in the mud. The door of his wife's car is wide open. So was the front door of the house. And there was absolutely no sign of the family dog. Inside, there was an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over. The TV in the front room was blaring the Cartoon Network. And the family room was covered with toys and various items of clothing. And he made his way through the house, getting more and more concerned as he went, wondering what was going on. He came to the kitchen, and the sink was piled high full of dirty dishes, and cereal was spilled all over the counter. The fridge door was wide open. The dog food was spilled everywhere. There was a puddle of milk, a pile of this, and a spill of that here and there. He quickly headed up the stairs, stepping over toys, piles of clothes, looking for his wife. You see, he was worried that she might be sick or that something serious had happened. Well, as he made his way past the hallway bathroom, he heard water running. So he took a peek inside. And then there again, he found piles of things. There was a pile of wet towels. There was scummy soap all over the tub. And there was even more toys strewn all over the floor, plus miles and miles of toilet paper just laying in heaps on the floor. There was toothpaste smeared all over the mirror and all over the walls. Well, he's more concerned now, so he begins to pick up his pace, and he rushes into the bedroom, and there he found his wife curled up on the bed in her pajamas reading a novel. She looked up at him and smiled and asked how his day went. Stunned, he simply asked, "What happened here today?" She again looked up at him and smiled and answered, "Well, you know how every day when you come home from work and you ask me what in the world have I been doing all day?" "Yeah," he said. Well, she answered, "Today, I didn't do it." Of course, today, as was mentioned earlier, we want to thank and recognize all of the moms who have persevered and who have raised their kids and who have done what they do every day to help keep our homes, to help keep our families going. Because being a mom is often a thankless job. But even though being a mom is hard, God has designed the heart of a mom to be a reflection of his own heart. And that's not saying anything bad about us guys, you know, because after all, men are, you know, created in the image of God. But we see that God refers to how a mother loves and cares for her children as an example of his own love and care for his people. Take a look again at our scripture reading from Isaiah chapter 66 that Randall read for us this morning. And this again is Isaiah 66 verses 12 and 13. There the Bible says, "For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river," referring to Israel, you know, "and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you'll be comforted over Jerusalem." Now think about that. God could have used anybody to compare himself to as a loving, caring God, but God uses the illustration of a mother and her love for her child to relate to how Israel, how much God loves Israel. You see, mothers must be special then if God thinks so highly of them to use them as an illustration of his own nature. Clearly, there is something special about how a woman cares for a child, whether that child is natural born or adopted or just someone that she's been a mother too, okay? And that's because at the heart of a mom is a heart like God's, is a love like God loves. With all that in mind, I'd like to go ahead and turn over to a passage that you may or may not have thought about when it comes to motherhood. So let's turn on over to Matthew chapter 15. And we know, of course, that there are women different kinds of places in their life. You know, there are those mothers who have raised their own kids, and there are moms who are helping others to raise their kids, whether it's maybe friends' kids or even other kids in the family. Of course, there are young women who've not yet had children, and there are ladies who we know, and maybe you know, that have been unable to have kids, but they're still motherly and they take care of other children. There are even moms who, for some reason or another, are not able to be with their children. So there are all kinds of different stages that someone could be in when it comes to motherhood. But we're here today to say that at whatever place you find yourself at, we want to be an encouragement to you. You know, there are many times that we're just not able to control our own circumstances, especially with our kids. But God has called us again to have His heart. And this is something that's well reflected again in the heart of a woman who cares for children, who is a mom at heart. So even if you cannot have kids, or you need to look for that person that you could be a mom to, and mentor them, and actually love them and take care of them. So again, you should be in Matthew 15 right now. And in Matthew 15, we're going to read verses 21 through 28. And we're going to look at this passage kind of like I like to do with some texts, and that is step back from a minute and look at it a little bit this way. Because when we look at it a little bit this way, you get a crick over here. Now, when you look at it this way, you see it slightly differently. Okay, so let's take a look at this text. Starting in verse 21, the Bible says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession.' Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' The woman came and knelt before him. 'Lord, help me,' she said. He replied, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs.' 'Yes, Lord,' she said, 'but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered, 'Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.' And the Bible tells us her daughter was healed from that very hour." Now again, we have this woman here, this mom, who was a Canaanite woman. Now the Canaanites were not respected by the Jews. As a matter of fact, they were often despised. She was a Gentile after all. But this mother's heart was for her daughter, you see. Think about it for a minute. This mom was willing to go to someone that she thought would despise her, possibly even mock her, maybe even abuse her if he were a regular Jew. Think about what the disciples said. "I just send her away, you know." But she did this because she saw this as a chance, as maybe the only chance to help her daughter. So one of the first things that we see is that the heart of a mom is caring. Okay, the heart of a mom is caring. Again, in the face of being despised, she goes to Jesus because she cares greatly for her daughter. You see, again, her daughter is suffering, right? So she's suffering too. She's suffering too. Notice what she asks in verse 22. This mom asks for Jesus to have mercy on me, on herself. She's suffering too because her daughter is suffering. You see, this mom cares so much for her child that in empathy she suffers along with her daughter, even though she herself is not demon-possessed. And that is something that is special again about a mom. Mothers care about us even when it seems that nobody else does. And don't we even say that sometimes? Don't we say things sometimes to someone that maybe is thought of as a little unlovable, that they're the kind of person that only a mother could love? Well, you know, we say that, of course, knowing full well that the heart and care of a mom is different than anyone else's. And that's very much the way God looks at everyone, isn't it? God loves us all, John 16. And God has designed the heart of a mom to closely resemble his own care and compassion. And that's why that when we look at a mother's love, it helps us to understand God's love for us. Looking back at Isaiah again, this time chapter 49, in verse 15, the Bible says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you, says the Lord." Okay. Now the Lord asked this question in such a way that the answer is already known. You know, it's a rhetorical question, okay? You see, there's no way that any sane, rational mother would forget the baby at her breast. And so here, God says that his love is even stronger. Think about it. God has created the hearts of mothers to be caring. And he takes the greatest example of caring that he has created. That's moms again, especially with a baby at her breast. And he uses them to describe his own care for his people. That's even greater. So again, the heart of a mom is caring. And the heart of a mom is also discerning. The heart of a mom is discerning. Again, let's look back at our text in Matthew 15. This is verse 22. And see what this discerning mom, this mom, good judgment says. She says there in this verse that my daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. She's suffering terribly from demon possession. You see, this discerning mom knows that the problem is a demon, not her daughter. Now, without a full biography here, we can only guess at the home life of her family. We don't know the house, you know, but we could be pretty sure that this daughter has had caused all kinds of problems in the home. And it would be very easy for someone to say that this daughter is the problem. She's the problem. You know, things like if, you know, she wasn't around, things would be easier, you know, or if she didn't cause so many problems, well, we wouldn't be in this terrible situation. All kinds of accusations would fly around pointing to her as the problem. You know, maybe our mom here in this text is thinking that maybe she herself must have been a terrible mother because her daughter has all these that she has, you know. But the mom in our text doesn't do that. She doesn't point fingers at her daughter. She doesn't even blame herself. The mom in our text is discerning, isn't she? She is discerning that there's an underlying issue that's causing the problem. And so our mom here understands the Apostle Paul will tell us later in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that our struggle is not against blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, this mom knows that she's not in a battle with her daughter, even though from the outside it might seem that way sometimes. But the truth is, she's fighting a battle against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. So again, the heart of this mom is discerning. The heart of a mom is discerning. And the heart of a mom is also helpful. The heart of a mom is helpful. Back again in Matthew 15:5, this mom comes and she kneels before Jesus. She gets down on her knees before Jesus and she says, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." Now, what we want to see is that this mom expends effort, doesn't she? She expends effort in order to help her daughter with this issue. You see, she had heard about Jesus, who he was, about the things that he was doing, and she wanted to find the help that her daughter needed. And so she expended effort toward being helpful. If we take a look at the parallel passage of Mark chapter 7, we read in verse 25 of Mark 7 that in fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. It's like, Oh, Jesus is here. I'm going and wham, right down on. Lord, help me. You know? You see, she probably didn't know what to do at first when things were going on with her little girl, you know, but she realized that she had to do something. And when maybe she talked to someone or she overheard something, maybe at the well where they're collecting water, you know, someone had an idea of what to do, she immediately took that advice and went off to find Jesus, looking to help her daughter. So she heard about Jesus, but just what did she hear? Well, she probably had heard about Jesus being able to heal those with evil spirits, right? You see, earlier in his ministry, Jesus had healed many evil spirits from the same region where the woman was from. If we take a look over in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, we see that Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place, and a large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, where this woman is from, who had come to hear him and be healed of the diseases, those troubled by evil spirits were cured. So clearly this mom heard about Jesus and what he was able to do. And when she heard that he was in the area, she went out and she sought him. She went looking for him. You know, she was willing to do whatever it took to help her daughter. And we all know that if a mom has a sick child, and if when she takes the kid to the doctor says, well, I don't know what to do with the kid. You take him home and watch him a bit. Well, that mom's going to immediately start trying to call around and ask people, have you heard about this? If you see what they do? She's going to look things up on the internet. She's going to call friends, read up on articles. That's because moms will do whatever they can to help. Of course, moms don't help for any kind of recognition, right? Although it is nice to be recognized every once in a while, you know. But moms do it because they love, because they care, because they're helpful. So the heart of a mom is helpful. And the heart of a mom is also persistent. The heart of a mom is persistent. Again, if we go back to our main text in Matthew 15, and let's read verses 25 through 27 this time. Again, the woman came and knelt before Jesus, knelt before him. And she said, Lord, help me. Verse 26 says, he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You see, this mom isn't taking no for an answer, is she? And really, there are a few people in this world who will go to the lengths that they do go to for their children other than a mother. So if there's a pothole, mom will drive around it, right? If there's a roadblock, she'll find another way. If there's a barrier, she'll go through it, you know? Better have good insurance on that one. But now let's tilt our heads again, but this time we'll go back to the other side for just a minute and take a look at these verses again. You see, sometimes when people look at these verses, they think that Jesus is being pretty cruel here. Because not only appeared to be unwilling to help her at first, but correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't he just compare her to a dog? You know, I mean, he's not a Randy Jackson fan. He's not quoting Randy Jackson from American Idol, who seems to call everybody dog, but not the same way. By the way, if you hadn't heard about it, Jackson just announced his retirement from Idol. Not that I watch that show, because anyway. But anyway, it'll be good that he's gone, I think. But just what was Jesus saying here? That's the question we need to answer. Well, first off, there are two main words translated as dog in our New Testament Greek translation. Okay, I mean, well, the New Testament Greek, the New Testament's. So there are two main words that are translated from the Greek text, the same root word that are translated as dog. One is kuon and the other is. And one of these words, kuon, is used in a more negative sense. That's kind of the mangy old mutt that runs wild in the street type of dog, you know. The other, kunarion, is what Jesus uses here. And that's the kind of word that means little household pet. You know, kind of like, here's my little doggy here riding the car with me, sticking his head out the window. You know, that's my kunarion, okay. As a matter of fact, out of the 9 times that the word dog is used in the entire New Testament, The four times that it's translated from kunarion, that's that little pet puppy, you know, is right here in our main passage in Matthew 15 and the parallel back in Mark 7. So what Jesus is saying really is that his mission is first to the Jews. And it simply wouldn't be right to go to non-Jews, a Gentile, first, before he does what he's supposed to do in going to the chosen Israel first. So to feed the household pup, the food that was meant for the children, would be wrong. I mean, think about it. Any hardworking parent knows that. You don't go out to work and you slave all day, whatever, and you go to the store and you get stuff to bring home to cook for the family, and you bring home the food, and instead you throw it to the dog. Go ahead, eat that, Rover, and the kids go hungry, you know. All right. No one does that. Still, if you do have a pet puppy, right, you will feed them, just not first. All right. And that's basically what Jesus is saying to this woman. Of course, this woman is fully aware of her standing. She knows that she's a Gentile. She knows that the Messiah is sent to the Jews. She knows this. We see that in the text, because does she take offense? She's like, "Oh, Jesus, forget it, I'm out of here." She doesn't do that, okay? She doesn't take offense to what Jesus is saying at all. It's us in our 21st century mindset that says, "Hey, you know, you shouldn't call her a dog." But that's actually what the Jews would often call the Gentiles, dogs, okay? Anyway, she doesn't take offense at all. It's what we want to see. But instead, she's encouraged that she wasn't called a mangy street dog. Instead, she's called like a pet. That sounds like, you know, something different maybe. But she sees an opportunity here because Jesus hasn't flatly said, "Get out of here," right? So this mom uses the same analogy in her dialogue back, this pet dog, to say that she does in fact understand saying and is not looking for the children's food, but simply a scrap from the King of Kings. Because that is all that is needed to accomplish this healing. Just a little bit of time, Jesus. Just say the word, okay? And that's really amazing, isn't it? Because by saying what she said, this mom shows how great her faith is. And it becomes apparent that not even the Jews had this kind of faith. And this leads us up to the last thing that we want to mention this morning about a mom's heart, and that is the heart of a mom is also full of faith. The heart of a mom is full of faith. Take a look at verse 28 in Matthew 18 again. There Jesus answered this woman, and he doesn't call her a dog, right? He says, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Well, now it's interesting to note that Jesus only tells two people the entire New Testament that they have great faith. Not the Apostle Paul, not the Apostle Peter, and neither of them are Jews. Neither of them are Jews. They're both Gentiles, and they recognize that Jesus has all authority. Of course, one of those souls' faith is right here, right? This Canaanite mom. The other is the Roman centurion back in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, that seeks out help for his paralyzed servant who is in great pain. And so both this Gentile woman in our text and the Gentile centurion back in Matthew 8 recognize who Jesus is, and they have great faith in him. That's what Jesus says. And you'll remember that when the centurion was talking with Jesus, he says, "Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word, my servant will be healed." Matthew 8:8, and Jesus says the word, and he's healed. And here in our main text, our Canaanite mom says, "Lord, I'm just a dog, not one of the children of Israel. But what would be just a table scrap to others is more than enough to heal my daughter. You could spare that. Here, please, please." And Jesus tells us that we're both full of faith. They both had great faith. I had to ask myself, now how can we to have great faith? Well, our text gives us the answer, I believe. In order to be full of faith, we need two basic things. First, we need to recognize who we are, ourselves. You see, like centurion and this mom, they knew who they were. They were undeserving, unable, and unworthy, and that is something that we all need ourselves to. And second, we need to recognize who Jesus is. Jesus isn't some pal or buddy, you know. He's the all-powerful God with all authority in the universe who can do all things. And as we recognize that more and more, those two basic things, who we are and who Jesus is, and we put that into practice and we exercise that in our faith, then our faith will grow and we can pass our faith on to our children and truly have an impact on our families for generations to come and as well in our society through our children and their children, so on and so on. So again, this morning we said that the heart of a mom is caring. We said that the heart of a mom is discerning. We said that the heart of a mom is helpful. We said that the heart of a mom is persistent. And we said that the heart of a mom is full of faith. And clearly, God can be seen in the heart of a Christian mom. Well, we began with a little story. Let's end with a little story, huh? Story goes that there are four preachers. Go ahead, pick on preachers, right? And talking about different translations of the Bible. And one old timer says, oh, I really love the King James. It's the of all the beautiful style of the English. Love to read it. Another preacher spoke up and said, I like the New American Standard. That's the best because it's literal and comes really close to the original Greek and Hebrew. Still another preacher said, well, I like the NIV because it's modern. I like the language and the text. Fourth preacher, well, he was sitting there kind of silent, thinking a bit. And then he looked up and he said, I like my mother's translation the best. The other three kind of looked at him and tried to figure out what he's talking about. And the fourth preacher went on and explained, well, mother translated the Bible into everyday life. And it was the most convincing translation I ever saw. She was an old-fashioned mother, the poem goes. She did not pretend to be smart, to care for her home and her dear ones. Was that first in her heart. We were raised by the old-fashioned rules so sparsely employed today, and when we so richly deserved it, we were spanked in the old-fashioned virtue. A good name is far better, she'd say, than all the wealth of the nation, and truth is best any day. She believed in the old-fashioned Bible. She trusted in old-fashioned prayer. She told us that Jesus would hear us if we'd speak anytime, anywhere. Thank God for old-fashioned mother, for the Bible and old-fashioned prayer, for the faith is looking for our Lord to appear in the air. So happy Mother's Day. If you've got a mom around, make sure you wish her happy Mother's Day. If you haven't got a mom around, adopt a mom. Wish her happy Mother's Day. Today, if there's anyone here who wishes to truly honor their mother, then the encouragement is to be a faithful Christian. In order to be a faithful Christian, we must first be a Christian, to confess our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and then repenting of our sins, to be baptized in the watery grave for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38. And once we come up out of the water, well, we're born again. We're Christians. And then we do our best to remain faithful to God and to encourage others to do the same, especially our children and their children, so on and so on. So if there's any reason that anyone needs to come forward during the invitation song, maybe to become a Christian, or maybe for prayer for some other reason, you're always welcome to do that. Or if you prefer, you can always visit with Paul or Jeff today at your convenience for encouragement, whatever the case may be. If you need to, please come forward as we stand and sing.